Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, which of course did feature Andy Jacobs having his say on Thomas Tuchel's sacking. You very much enjoyed that, I'm sure. But if you didn't hear it, it's all on here with some crackpot stuff as well. We also spoke to a man called Tom Adams. His son, Corey, is playing under-11s cricket, which is no big deal. But Corey's three years old, so he is some player by the sound of it. We also spoke to a man who went on a football odyssey, having grown disillusioned with the game, took four jumpers and a football around the world and enjoyed himself, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
And
we discovered a photo from 1968.
Oh, yeah, of Andy, proving what a bad memory he's got. So here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And maybe we should start with your notes from last night's game, which you probably would have done anyway, but, which is probably why you're not particularly disappointed with this morning's news.
I was coming off from a long run.
You certainly were. So what? These are the notes. Andy sits there when he watches Chelsea, and all football, with a book on his lap and makes notes. But when Chelsea play, the flames coming off the pen.
There's quite a lot. I mean, it started off with, I'm sick of Tuchel. Every game, it's a different team, different tactics. Why are you playing Mount as a holding midfield? That was the start. It was right at the start.
Right.
And then I had Chelsea play without energy, sterile, slow football. They're not fit enough. There's no confidence. They need a new voice. Oh. And I basically felt that, you know, that if they didn't... I thought the ownership would, out of misplaced loyalty, because he did a good job in the takeover, that they'd hang on to him. And I thought that's a mistake, because the longer you hang on to him, the worse it'll get. You know, we've seen last night on the Chelsea website, all the fans are going, he's got to go. When they get rid of him, they're going, why have they got rid of him? It's a terrible decision. You think it's not a terrible decision. Mm. It's absolutely the right decision.
Saying earlier on, and we've heard a lot of people today saying they can't understand it. I think Andy Goldstein has been tweeting about it, and he'll be telling you about that 4 o'clock in Drive, his take on it. But when you watch a team and you support a team, there is often a performance or a run of performances or results. And you know, they're your team, and you know, and you sense that that moment has come, and you clearly did last night.
This has been going on since they beat Juventus 4-0, Chilwell got injured, and from that moment onwards, apart from the odd game or two against the better teams, which...
They were brilliant against Tottenham, weren't they?
Yeah,
the other
but
week.
That's,
I mean, didn't get
you know,
a result,
that's no good, is it? You can't be brilliant against Tottenham and terrible. They've lost four times already this season. I've written here in one of my mad earth notes is, I wouldn't wait to fire him. I'd have given him a parachute and pushed him out the plane over Germany.
See, that is... Yeah, well, that's probably going a bit too far,
I've
isn't
gone,
it,
really? I don't want ABV, I want ABT. Anyone but Tuchel. these notes. I mean, I had it funny in the list.
The ravings of a madman.
My shortlist was everybody beginning with P. It was Postecoglou, Poch, Potter and Patrick Vieira.
Frank Skinner, and he used to have this book going when he did fantasy football, and Frank once said, if anybody ever got over your book, you'd be sectioned. And he's not wrong, is he?
In front
really?
Of Alan Jarrett, we were doing a Phoenix, and I wanted to show him. He said, Andy, don't show him your book, you think you're mad.
He's absolutely right.
This season's a write-off unless we fire him now. That's another one from last night.
Yeah.
This is Tuchel to a T. Chalobah and Azpilicueta. Chalobah plays well against Leicester and has dropped. Azpilicueta was pathetic against Southampton, but he picked him over Chalobah last night. That's the point.
Yeah.
He kept making bad decisions.
There were important players, good players that you've kept, like Asim Ziyech and also Pulisic, who are getting sidelined and are better players than they're showing.
So. I'm starting to go quite mad, I've written. Peter Walton, what do you think about Tuchel? Well, on the one hand, he's been dealt a difficult hand, but on the other hand, he's useless. Thank you, Peter.
Let's bring Peter Walton in here. That's right, yeah.
Honestly.
It'd be great if you could do that in any walk of life. I think that's going to blow that plaster, John.
It's another...
No, I think it looks fine. I think that's going to... Let's bring Peter Walton in here. Well, on one hand, it could blow, but on the other hand, it might just dry out fine. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Here's another mad note. Chelsea could have Haaland and he wouldn't even get double figures.
Yeah.
It's true, though. Yeah. Don't create anything. So, you know.
So, look, we're hearing on very good authority that they're having a chat with Graham Potter today and they are prepared to meet the buyout clause. I mean, the two runners and riders, really serious ones, are Maurizio Pochettino, which myself and Danny Kelly and you were messaging earlier on, would upset us, much as like Conte going to Tottenham catches in your craw. But I'd be sad to see that happen. Would you favour either one of Potter or Pochettino?
Personally, I would. It's not my decision. I'd go with Poch because I think he's got experience with the Premier League. Not that Potter doesn't. I think Potter's a brilliant manager, but there's a question mark over, you know, there's one thing managing Ostersunds and Brighton is another thing, man. I'm not saying he can't do it.
No.
I'm really hoping if they give him the job that he can.
Mm.
But there is a question mark. There has to be a question mark because he's never managed at that level.
No.
Whereas Poch, you know, he had to manage in that madhouse at PSG. Yeah.
He's gone from one extreme to the other.
Which was, honestly, you and I were talking about this last night. It was watching Mbappe and Neymar is so amusing.
Well, we got Julian Laurent on later on. And there's the moment that seems to tell you that, although he loves them, that PSG are never going to win the Champions League. Two up and coasting. Mbappe breaks. All he's got to do is square it to Neymar, who's just basically there waiting to tap it into an open goal, and he shoots. And you think, what's the point?
And then he looks at it, and then Neymar gets the ball and does exactly the same thing. But I think, again, you know, when you've got a manager who doesn't know his best team, doesn't know his best system, you know, that's Tuchel, and then you know it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem there, you know, so...
There's been something about his demeanour in the last couple of weeks. I mean, and everybody has said, you know, there's been stuff going on in his personal life that isn't easy. Mm. This might come as a sort of blessed release to him.
Yeah.
He kind of gave that vibe off, didn't he?
Let's not do the bloke down.
No.
You know, he came in and they won the Champions League, and he did brilliantly well. But, you know, up to a point, and that point was last year, and they struggled through, and this season is just...
Interesting thing is, and we'll talk about this with our guests, reputationally, he'll probably go off and get another absolutely plum job, won't he?
You would think he'll
walk into another plum job, because look at his track record, look at what he's won.
Sure, absolutely. But
and he's proved
does
recently.
Tend to, you know, it does tend to end a bit like this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, looking at the team in this season, it looks like they don't believe in what they're being asked to do. And it's always, you know, a big problem. But yesterday afternoon, I went to see a gala performance of Nureyev, the legend.
Did you?
And the legacy. Yeah, it's really good, actually.
Where was this on?
At the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane.
Oh, blimey.
I love the ballet. I'm a big fan.
I love the ballet.
And in the evening, it was Ziyech and Pulisic, legends in their own mind.
Bit harsh.
No, absolutely
wasn't
true.
Wasn't it Vir Alan Hudson, the great Tony Waddington, one-time Stoke City manager, who called football the working man's ballet?
Well, he's got a point.
Anyway,
that's why I like ballet.
Welcome to the South Bank show today. John Benson's film. We're backstage with Thomas Tuchel as he brings his one-man show to the West End. Oh, he speaks like that. Great Melvin Bragg.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Quite a few of you have thrown yourself right into let's bring Peter Walton in here, to the point where Paul Brown said, I'm a window cleaner, and a customer's just said to me, looks like rain. And I've immediately said, let's bring Peter Walton in here. And I got the 1,000-yard stare. So, Paul in Newton Abbott there.
Well,
halfway
the clouds
up the ladder.
Are looking quite laden, but on the other hand, it's still dry.
That's true. You know, you don't want to stick your neck out too much. Stephen from Lisbon says, I'm about to go on the motorway, low on diesel. Will I run out? Could we bring Peter Walton in here? It'd be good, isn't it? For all your needs, on a daily basis, that would be absolutely perfect.
That's good.
Anything else, Andy?
I've got news of Bobby Charlton's Bible.
Oh, okay, it went under the hammer the other day, didn't it?
Yeah. It was only expected to fetch 800 quid, which I thought was quite a lot of money for a Bible.
Okay.
But it actually went for £1,700.
See?
It had Form 9 inside the cover from his school in Ashington, Northumberland.
That's great. It's a piece of...
But it's got nothing to do with football. It's not a football memorabilia, is it?
It doesn't matter.
You wouldn't put that in the National Football Museum, would you? Bobby Charlton's Bible.
It
might do. I don't
would
know.
You?
Yeah,
I wouldn't. God,
if you have a Bobby Charlton,
I might put it in the National Church Museum.
If you, where's the National
no
Church
such thing,
Museum?
But if, I might start one.
Simon Church. If you had if you had an exhibition, a Bobby Charlton exhibition, they could easily do.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, the Bobby Charlton story. It's all part. I can understand. If I mean, look at the Beatles stuff that gets collected. John Lennon stuff that's collected has nothing to do with music, is it? It's just.
Yes,
little
so.
Piece
yeah.
of them, you know, a piece of your heroes. Anyway, nice.
Fair enough. Really. What about his exercise books, for example?
Well, I don't know if anybody's got them. No idea.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, there was an interesting story today, which I think we may get you going on this afternoon. Just want to bring the details. You may have seen it already today. It was a Rangers fan who went to a tribunal feeling that his support of Glasgow Rangers had affected him. Around a couple of contracts. The fact that the people awarding the work to him potentially were fans of other clubs and discriminated against him because he was a Rangers fan and they were fans of rival clubs. The judge didn't agree, seen as a landmark ruling. Judge Lucy Wiseman ruled that football fandom could not be protected under law in the same way, say, religion could. You could be discriminated against for your religious beliefs, but not
surely
your football.
It's an odd ruling, that, isn't it? I mean, a judge obviously knows more than me, but discrimination is discrimination, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you discriminate against somebody because they're overweight or something like that, you know, isn't that the same thing as discriminating against them because of their football club?
Want me to get... I mean, the judgment, I had a closer look at it earlier on.
No, I'm not asking you to give the judgment.
But the fee, I mean, like, the judge ruled that being a football fan is merely a lifestyle choice. She's clearly not a football fan and does not represent a belief as to a weighty and substantial aspect of life. In addition, she said...
That's wrong, isn't it?
She said, football fandom does not have larger consequences for humanity as a whole. The devotion of fans was not deemed to have the necessary level of seriousness, cohesion and importance to constitute a philosophical belief such as humanism, pacifism... atheism or veganism, all the isms. The only common factor linking fans would be the fact they wanted their team to do well or win. So we just thought today, because we had a story many years ago, and I can't quite remember if it was an Arsenal police officer or a Tottenham one, but it was an old, it was a North London derby affected decision made by a police officer. I seem to remember was a Tottenham fan, but let's say he was, but it could have easily been flipped the other way. Stopped some lads in a car. They were a bit leery, bit mouthy, but he just thought, I'll let it go, it's fine. And just as he was about to say, all right, I'll let it go this time, he saw a hint of the rival shirt on one of them, and he thought, no, I'll nick him. So, sometimes, it is bad, but sometimes in life, you will let a football rivalry cloud your judgment, despite what the good judges said. So, let's hear your stories. If you're honest, did you let football club rivalries cloud your judgment in a similar way to the story we've just outlined? So do let us know. Talksport.com. Be honest. Talksport.com. Text 81089. Tweet TSHNJ. Because it shouldn't really tell you anything about the person. The fact they support. Mm. I mean, we've got friends who support rival clubs. Doesn't put us off of them, does it? Really?
Yeah, I don't discriminate against the producer because he supports Torquay.
Well, he came in quite angrily and issued a hands-off Gary Johnson warning to Andy. Well, I think he quite likes the idea of the 20 million buyout clause, but Gary Johnson is going nowhere, Andy.
I'm always fascinated by this sort of thing. Like, people are almost like horrified that a club would pay a release clause for a manager. Well, they pay quite a lot for players, and the manager is quite important. Mm. So basically, I'd say it's worth the money.
It's going to be interesting to see where Aubameyang fits in all this under Potter, isn't it, really?
Well,
and the way that Potter likes to play.
Well, we'll see. All of them are up for grabs, aren't they, every position? But there's too many players that you've not been getting a game out of. Look at Conor Gallagher. Look how brilliant he was for Palace. Look at him. Look what he's been like at Chelsea. He doesn't even look the same player.
He's a kind of bit part player, and he obviously hadn't got the confidence of the manager.
No, he did get some starts, didn't he? But, he still looked...
He felt he had to go out there and try so hard. He picked up two yellow cards in 5
that's
minutes.
That's right, and then they picked him again, and it was a problem. They had to take him off, but he's playing because he's playing him in the wrong position.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see anyway. I'm surprised that he's surprised. basically.
Yeah, the word is that Thomas Tuchel apparently was very surprised when the call came earlier on today and tried to talk everybody around, wanting a second chance to put it right. But
well, you should know that beforehand, shouldn't you?
That wasn't given to him. Anyway, Andy, anything else you want to talk about today?
Yes. Gareth Southgate has been consulting. He loves doing this, Gareth. Coaches from other sports.
So yes.
He's been consulting.
A lot of coaches do
rugby league coach Sean Wayne. Mm. And I hope Sean's a fan of Ivan Toney.
Yeah, that might be the first thing he says.
I'm not sure that's a great idea. You know, football.
What
work?
What harm can it do?
They always... it doesn't really do any good. I never see much point to it. You know, football is quite a simple game. It's all about football, Brian, is what I'd say.
But he's not going in there for football coaching. He's not, can I use the term best practice? I shouldn't really.
Yes.
But he says he's looking at the way that another coach, an elite coach, does his job.
Well, if you don't know how to do the job already, I don't know what you're doing, really. I'm not convinced about it.
What harm can it do?
What good does it do?
See, there's your glass half full.
Well, that's
there's
true.
Your
what
glass
good does
half
it do?
Well, it could do some good. If he
I bet Pep Guardiola doesn't go to Sean Wayne and ask him what he does in rugby league, or Spanish coach of rugby league.
When Pep was out of football for a little while, he went on the road, he did some stuff, and he spoke to other coaches. You know, you can always learn from other people in other sports.
Yeah.
Oh dear me! It won't hurt. It won't help. As an old joke,
well, that's
once
very
went
true.
About chicken soup.
Won't hurt, but it won't help.
Yeah.
The WSL starts this weekend. We're both going to games. You're going to Spurs on Saturday.
I am.
Chelsea,
yeah.
West Ham.
Yeah,
I'm really
Spurs, Manchester
forward to
United.
It.
Yeah.
And I've been reading about. If you want to feel old, read about the Sky's coverage of the WSL. They've got fair enough. They've got Kelly Smith and alongside Caroline Barker and Karen Carney. All good. Yeah.
Yep.
Broadcast 35 games live, fine. They'll have 360-degree coverage on TikTok.
Wow.
What does that mean?
360-degree.
Plus, launch a Snapchat show called The Dub.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you're not the target audience, are you?
Well, no, I'm not, obviously.
Okay.
But that's what I said. If you want to feel old, read about the coverage.
See, you could have met with Sean Wayne. He could have explained all that to you. Could have explained
Sean Wayne
360. How do you know what Sean Wayne knows?
I'll ring him up now. Do you know what the Dub is?
Go on, ring
Snapchat.
Him up now then. Mark Wilson will have his number. We'll get it off. Adrian might have it. We'll get it off.
I'm no fan of Jesse Marsh, but I do feel...
We'll try and get him on as the producer.
That's a good idea.
You can say to him, what's the point of Gareth coming down? You have it out with Sean Wayne. He's a much bigger man than you.
I'm not particularly happy about these coaches getting red cards after terrible decisions.
Right.
And
you think they have a right to be annoyed? But I mean,
I do. But, you know, Jesse Marsh, you know, he was absolutely right. It was a penalty for Leeds. They should have seen it. They didn't review it. They didn't get it right. He goes absolutely mad because it's his job, you know. And then he gets a red card and a ban. You think, well, hang on a minute. You know, if the VAR is, if it's been absolutely shown that the ref's made a mistake, I think you can, you know, put him on at least a suspended red or something like that, you know, so well, next time you do it, you'll get a ban. Make some allowance for this because it's pretty annoying. You know, they've got all the technology and they can't get it right. You can't blame the managers for going bonkers.
Yeah.
Good one from the court circular yesterday. I love the language they use. The Right Honourable Boris Johnson, MP, had an audience with the Queen and this morning tendered his resignation, which Her Majesty was graciously pleased to accept.
Yeah.
I bet she was delighted.
He did slightly hang her out to dry at one point, didn't he?
Graciously pleased to accept.
Yeah.
It's an odd thing, isn't it? Odd way of putting it.
We asked you about the club lawyer that was getting in the way off the back of that story that's saying football isn't religion, so you can't really be officially discriminated against because of your football club. As a gooner, I will not buy Beavertown beer, says Neil in Oxford. That's the thing with this,
well,
of course,
it,
big
know.
Sponsors of Tottenham. Likewise, Carl, the West Ham fans, petty I know, but I've never and will never drink Holston Pills, Carl, the West Ham fan. Black cab driver with Birmingham City stickers in my cab, says Paul. Some Villa lads hailed me, then refused to jump in. I can understand.
Yeah.
The greatest example, and I've cited it before, but very quickly, and it's Birmingham related, Auto Glass, Villa fan in his car, windscreen goes on the outskirts of Birmingham, just and his wife and kids are in the car, pouring rain. It's obviously the windscreen's broken, so the water is flooding into the car, and he phones his insurance company. They come out, the people come out to fix the windscreen, Villa fan, and it's Auto Glass. And Auto Glass, I think, were then with the Birmingham City sponsors.
Mm.
And he said, no, mate, you're going to have to send out another company. They said, well, that could take hour and a half. You know, it's pouring rain. You've got your wife and... I don't care. Send out another company. Sat there.
Incredible.
So people do take it to extremes. So anyway, let us know. And maybe it was in a similar situation where you felt you were discriminated against. It's not just products. Do let us know. Well, look at this one. I once had a job working for a company delivering items around the Midlands. They bought a new fleet of vehicles in the gold colours of Wolves, says Darren, the West Brom fan. I quit on the spot. Mad. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
Now, I don't know if you saw those pictures of Harry Styles in the papers this morning. And
Rudy Voller, as he's now known.
Yes. El Hadj Diouf, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great, strange story that about him. It doesn't look like it.
I don't know.
They've all denied it.
Why would you do that?
Well, I don't know. He does look at it.
He doesn't seem that type of lad, does he?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the fella. No. But the shirt he was wearing, talk about fashion being cyclical. Yeah. It's got this light blue shirt on with a massive, even longer than Harry Hill collar.
Very pointy collars.
Yeah. I had a shirt like that.
Did you really?
Yeah. And that was the shirt I was wearing the night I met Alan Freeman. And it was in the Jewish Chronicle, but I couldn't have. I've researched, I've tried to find the photo.
Alan Freeman, and legendary
like me,
broadcaster.
I was wearing dark sunglasses because I never used to like wearing my glasses because I never thought I'd be able to sort of meet anybody wearing those. Yeah, didn't think it was very attractive.
Really? Okay.
So I wore dark glasses.
What a great shame.
Ridiculous, actually, in this big collar.
Yeah.
And honestly, Harry looks exactly like me.
Does
except
he?
Slightly better looking on
the roof. Yeah.
I'll give him
you
that.
You say slightly. Billy Gilmore must be cursing his luck, says one of the TalkSport listeners. Yeah, it's true. Those players have actually let go.
And Colwell as well.
But yeah, players have actually sold as opposed to those that can't come back. That is a bit
That's true, really.
It's a bit of a blow.
Even worse if Tuchel gets the
Brighton
job.
Especially if he's gone to... I tend not to do swapsies in the world of Premier League football, do they?
Yeah. Really. Very, very true. And honestly, some people really.
Some people really. You could be introing anything.
Letter this. John Larkman has written to The Sun.
Oh,
says, I'm fed up with reading about celebs getting off scot-free. The latest is golfer Tiger Woods. Police have evidence he was driving at 84 miles an hour in a 45-mile zone when he lost control of his vehicle and rolled it. Yet they're not charging him. Yeah, he nearly died and he nearly lost his leg. I mean, what more do you want, really? Yeah, all right, give him a speeding ticket. But I think he suffered enough. It's not like he sort of got off, is it? Like, he was perfectly all right, and then that was it. Some people.
I was quite a fan of Adele's, says Mark the Gooner, until I realised she was from Tottenham and a Tottenham fan. Absolutely, no doubt in her talent, but I cannot bring myself to listen to any of her music now.
Oh, really?
Pathetic, I know. Well, look, we all know it's wrong.
Really?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I think there's times in all of our lives, as much as we love football, things happen in it that makes us fall out of love with it. And we just, most of us just suck it up. But in the case of our next guest, he decided to use it as a springboard for an odyssey, a global kickabout. He took off with a backpack, a football and 4 jumpers for goalposts.
Brilliant.
To see if he could kind of get in touch with a beautiful game once again. His name is Steve McCluskey and he joins us now. Hello, Steve.
Hey, hey, chaps. Okay.
Yeah, yes, we're good, Steve. So, I mean, look, as I said, most of us just think, oh, well, you know, one of those things. But you decided to do something about it. What made you fall out of love with football?
I've been passionate about footy all my life. You know, I was brought up with it. It's in the blood. My brother was a professional there at Rochdale years ago. I just the commercialism in the game, the price of replica shirts, the people, you know, young footballers earning ridiculous amounts of money, or, you know, whilst a lot of fans were struggling. And the way fans were overlooked when it came to setting, you know, these new ridiculous kickoff times, you know, Sunday lunchtimes, Friday nights, you know, not really thinking about these fans that have been travelling home and away for years. They weren't even in the conversation. So I could go on and on and on, but I won't.
You went to some pretty far flung places, and so that was it. You would just set up, throw the jumpers down, say anybody fancy a kick about, and how long would it normally take to get a game going?
Oh, minutes, yeah. I had a rucksack with a ball and four jumpers and found a space in a street, or had a game on a roof in India, a bandstand in Zurich, beaches here, there and everywhere. It was, I think the only place I got moved on from was York Minster. Yeah, they got a bit ratty with me there, But everywhere else, so literally 2 or 3 minutes. And the great thing about it was that people played who'd never played the game before and stuck around afterwards, and we'd go for a coffee. And it was a nice way to get into kind of the culture of the place very, very quickly, you know.
Are you a handy player?
I used to be. I used to play semi-pro for Baycup Borough years ago. Wow. I used to get a fiver a match. They put it in a brown envelope for me, though. So,
see, that's everything that's wrong with the game.
Corruption.
Yeah. But you did go to some. I mean, you played. You played lots of different. You're out in Cambodia, playing in Colombia, Medellin. I'm looking at pictures of you having a kick about outside the Brandenburg Gate. I'm surprised you didn't get moved on there. But it's all sorts of different games in different climates and different conditions.
Yeah. It was just, I really didn't know what to expect, to be honest. There was no real plan to it. It was just try it, see what happens. And the reaction was just phenomenal, really. I think the hardest place to get a game going was down in the Bible Belt in South Carolina. But I did turn up on a Sunday just after church, so I didn't learn it, really.
Yeah.
But I think in most places, people just saw... We're curious, and I took along kind of signs in the different languages as well, so I didn't look like the weirdo in the park, you know, to explain why I was there. And then it didn't take long at all for people to play.
Wow,
I mean, some of the temperatures were ridiculous, though. Yeah.
But it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to dispute what you said about when you were disillusioned, but I guarantee that when you went round the world, people just wanted to talk about the Premier League. And it's kind of the other side of the coin of what you were talking about. You know, yes, the kickoff times and all that, but the money that provides has built the league and has built the thing that people love around the world. It's a difficult one.
It is a difficult one, and you do get to see some of the, you know, the finest players in the world through the screens. I just think more could have been done for the fans in this country, you know, where this emanates. I mean, I'm a Liverpool fan, and we've just brought out a new shirt, and it's £100, and we're in a cost of living crisis. You know, things like that, really great. They could probably sell it for half of the price and still make a massive profit. And I think it's that side of things that really is quite an ugly side of football, you know.
And you brought back a lot of great memories and lots of great friends you made around the world, and a fiance, I see, Steve.
Yeah, that's good. Back as well, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Where was that? Where did you meet?
We met in Medellin in Colombia. Hopefully get married next year, yeah.
Right, what position was she playing in? Was she a handy right? Did she have the kick about or not?
She's definitely the captain. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
so this is all we can follow all your travels on. You put this on a blog, didn't you, Steve? Is that right?
Yeah, it's on a blog. Do you want me to?
Yeah,
tell you what that
let
is?
Us know where we can find it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's www.atwatg.com.
Okay. And it's you, you're around the world in 80 games, basically, that's yeah. for. So you can read Steve's... the scores there, match reports and scores, or did you not bother?
Match reports and scores are on there, yeah. I'm writing a book as well. The book's nearly finished. I've just got to write up the last game.
Right.
That's going to be called Around the World in 80 Games. So there's little bits on the blog, but to be honest with you, at the end of this story, it's been more about the people that I've met than the football.
Sure.
You know, so, yeah, it's been great.
What an experience. Well, look, come and see us when the book's out, Steve.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks very much.
Lovely to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you both. I mean, you're the best thing on the radio by far.
Oh, God bless you.
You are. He says that not me, but you.
No, he says that to every show he's on. Cheers, Steve. Yeah, all the best. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, fellas. Thank you.
There we are. Steve McCluskey, who around the world in 80 games. You want to go and check out the blog? And, yeah, we'll get him on when his book's out and have a dig a bit deeper into his adventures.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A name for you to remember. Corey Adams.
Yeah.
Currently only 3.
So young.
But a pretty tidy cricketer already. I know it's hard to believe, but has turned out in some under-11 games and has done quite well, taken wickets and made runs. Probably a bit early for Corey to make media appearances, but I'm very pleased to say his dad Tom joins us now. Good afternoon, Tom.
Afternoon, lads. How are we doing?
Yeah,
good. This is such a lovely story. It's made most of the papers today, hasn't it?
Yeah, the phone's been going absolutely crazy all day. Yeah. Really nice story.
Well, I take it Corey's there. Hello. Hi, Corey.
Now he's shy.
He's going to be shy. Yeah, okay. Well, he'll obviously have media training as time goes
but,
on.
You know, we've all seen pictures of young David Gower or a young Maradona in football. You know, all these great stars do show that.
Tiger, Rory,
good example. Yeah. They're very earliest times. They do show that they've got something about them in terms of playing the game.
Yeah, everywhere he comes with us, he just gets plaudits from opposing players and clubs where we go because he's just out there. He gets padded up.
Yeah.
He does his stuff and, everyone's quite shocked with the talent he has.
So I take you play yourself, Tom, yeah? Is that how he got into it, watching you play?
Yeah, I started a little club up in my own village in 2018. Corey wasn't even born then. And then the following season, he was born in the November of that year, the following season, he come along as a baby and has done for the last 5 years and just plays weekly during the cricket season, plays with everyone and that's just how he's picked up the game really.
I love the idea that he can't wait to get his pads on first thing in the morning. I've got a 5-year old cricket mad grandson as well, and I sent my son this thing and I said show it to the boy and he said I can't because he'll want to play for under 11s as well.
Yeah. So when did you think, Tom, wow, he's got a bit about him? How old was he when you thought, wow, okay, this is impressive?
18 months really. He was bowling overarm. and then with the bat, really, it was from about two and a half, he was starting to play shots and he's got a lovely forward defensive shot, something I can only dream of.
Yeah, we saw
he's got a lovely stance, but it's quite old fashioned. It's a two-eyed stance. It's quite crouchy. It's quite interesting because stances are different now. They want them to play like baseball players, but I like
got an old
stance.
Bradman book in the cupboard at home or something.
Leaning on the back stance is what he has. And that's not been taught. That's just completely natural that comes to him.
And his bowling action as well looks really impressive.
That looks very good. Yeah.
We've seen the pictures. It's amazing. Did that take a lot of coaching, Tom, or is it just sort of innate,
again, natural watching other people. So he was just like walking in. Up until this season, he was just like walking in and bowling overarm. Now he's introduced a bit of a run-up. And that, again, just by watching other people, he's just come naturally. And that's just improved his bowling action no end. He's just bowling really well. And
you got him a bowling machine, I gather. So you are encouraging, which is good.
At Christmas this year, we got him a little, they're called feed buddies. They just pop the ball up. A good little training aid for kids. He just had it in our hallway. Crash, bang, wallop, smashing the ball the hallway.
And so how has he played with the under-11s then? How did that come about?
So that was just... So we took an under-11 side down to a local club, Lydney. They was just playing. We fielded first. Corey was just on the sidelines with me. Come to batting, and in that age, they play in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to the end, and we was one short on a pair. So everyone's... Corey was there padded up playing like he normally does. And someone said, oh, why didn't you send Corey out? So I went and had a chat with the opposing coach. And he said, yeah, of course he can come out. And then out he went in all his kit. And, they were bowling at him, and everyone was just shocked at how well he was doing, smashing the ball about.
It is brilliant. Yeah. What about other sports? Does he show aptitude for other sports, or is it just cricket?
No, cricket, one sport only. He'll have a kicker out about with his cousins, but no, it's cricket and cricket only, really.
Well, if the hand eye's that good, you imagine you put a tennis racket in his hand or whatever, it'll be much the same.
Keep him on cricket.
Yeah, we need we do need the players, that's true. Yeah.
And is he a fan of watching cricket on TV?
So, yes, the last few months he's actually like taken an interest in that. We went down to a Welsh Fire game down at Cardiff, and he absolutely loved that. We had a great day down there. Mm. Shame about the season they had.
Difficult season for them, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's starting to come about now. Watching England games on the telly and things like that, he is starting to get keen.
It's an interesting one when you've got a kid that's sort of naturally brilliant and like this. You know, the coaching that they need is to kind of encourage them rather than coach it out of them. Do you know what I'm saying? You must have a bit of not a concern, but, you know, you'll be careful about how you introduce him to coaching, yeah. I'd imagine.
So, yeah, at the minute, we're just letting him do his thing. He's doing all the right things, without being coached. You don't want to put them off. He could be completely bored of it by the time he's 5 or 6.
Yeah, that's true.
But hopefully not. So we're just trying to let him enjoy his cricket and just improve naturally, really.
Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. Well, what a story. Well, as we said, we told the listeners to remember the name. The most important thing is we hope he keeps enjoying it and playing it for fun.
Yeah,
you know, because ultimately that's how he'll get better and better. But well, look, give him our best, and we'll listen out for him in the future. Thanks very much, Tom.
Lovely. Hopefully a name of the future, like you say.
Yeah, indeed. All the best. Tom Adams there, father of 3-year-old Corey Adams. And you won't believe the pictures when you look at his stance and everything. You don't want to start coaching out of him, do you?
Really? When I'm about 19, he's making his debut for England.
I remember him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You were saying earlier on about the picture taken in the youth club with Alan Freeman. Well, once again, your memory has been an issue for you because... Yeah. It wasn't Alan Freeman you were photographed
with. Who was it with?
It was David Frost.
Was it?
TV personality David Frost signs autographs during a lightning visit he paid to the East Finchley Jewish Youth Club last week. He had previously been voted Personality of the Year by the club members. And standing in the background looking like he's the bass player in a rock band, wearing his dark glasses, is Andy Jacobs. There it is. It's on the. We'll put it on the TalkSport Twitter feed at TSHNJ. So that is you. Can you confirm that's you?
That is me.
It cost a producer £2.50 to... I mean, he should have really been concentrating on the show, but he's made it his life's work. £2.50 to unearth this old picture.
This is why I can't write a book, because the facts.
Yeah, the facts. Well,
I was kind of right, but I was wrong.
Yes, it was David Frost. You know, you've got no memory of meeting David Frost, no?
No, I don't know if I said to him, hello, good evening.
I'm sure you did. But we will put the picture out of Andy Jacobs indoors in sunglasses. Never a great look. Probably wasn't in 1968. But if you go and check out at TSH in Javery shortly, we will put it up there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again on Monday. No, we won't. We'll do it all again tomorrow with Charlie and with Andy again on the birthday spread. I forgot what day it is. It's been a long day.
And Monday.
We'll do it all again on Monday, you know, God willing. Anyway, we'll catch up with you tomorrow from 1.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.